Even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
Welcome back to the Den, guys. So if you guys were just now listening, that was an excerpt from none other than the greatest to do it was Martin Luther King Jr. So even though his day has actually passed, we're actually out of Black History Month, we just want to use this episode to commemorate just growing up as being black, because even though we have that 1 month of February, Black History Month is every month of the year. So yeah, we wanted to just play a little clip for you guys just to let you all know what he did for the world and how he integrated all of our races together and how he also debunked segregation in school. So yeah.
Yeah, so as y'all know, we are watching The Proud Family to get our topic ideas. And in one of the episodes, they went back to the 1950s. And of course, you know, Penny Proud and Zoe are friends. Mm-hmm. But when you go back to the 1950s, black and white people weren't able to be friends. So we thought right. that this was a great topic just on how he was raised and how he was integrated and like what our stories was growing up in our childhood. Mm-hmm. And we thought it'd be a great way to, you know, talk about the conversation, have the conversation, and just seeing the different, you know, upbringings and like how it kind of had an impact on who we were and literally like how we are who we became today because of how we were raised.
Yes, definitely. So as we always start out, we will start with our Den Diaries and just go over like what we're wearing. So today I am wearing none other than Shein. I did mix it up a little bit though. I do have some brands in there. I'm wearing a Michael Kors snapback. I have on a Shein's sweatshirt, 90s babe, because you know we're both 90s babe.
Yeah.
And I have on some Shein pants as well. Then I have on some Champion sneakers.
So I'm a Forever 21 girl. So I have on this sweater. It is so cute. It has pockets. It's mm-hmm. so comfy and warm. I love the material.
I like that.
Yeah, thank you. So it's just a little sweater and it's like a crop top sweater, you know? Mm-hmm. And then these pants are like satin kind of joggers. I got these from Forever 21 as well. Cute. And I have some cute little socks. I don't know if y'all can see them, but they're like just white, gray, and black. And I believe I got these from Forever 21 as well too. So Forever 21 mm-hmm. moccasins from Shoe Carnival. I need y'all to sponsor me. I'm always there. Okay, so that's what I have on.
Cool. All right, so yeah, part of this episode we're talking about the integration of different races and diversity. So we want to talk about our cultural experiences that we had. So we have both studied abroad, so we want to just kind of talk about the first time we went out of the country. So when was the first time you went out of the country?
So the first time I went out of the country was in middle school. It was the summer between my mm-hmm. 7th grade year and my 8th grade year. I actually went to Korea to visit my dad because, as we were in the military. Well, we were in the military. My dad was in the military.
Right.
mm-hmm. And he was stationed in Korea. And I think that he might have knew just how important it was to kind mm-hmm. of just like, of course, come and see him, but also like kind of see the world as well too.
Right.
So it was just like something cool. I hadn't seen him in like 2 or 3 years or whatever. So,
wow.
And I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't get a passport. I didn't know nothing. I didn't even know how to even get out the country.
Right.
So I went to visit him for like 2 weeks in the summertime. And when I was telling people like, oh yeah, I'm going to Korea. I don't even really know if people even knew where Korea was or what Korea was at all. Like, mm-hmm. just like, oh, I'm going to Korea. And I don't even know if I was telling people. It was just like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to go. honestly, it was more like, I'm going to go see my dad, because right. I didn't know nothing about Korea. So
right.
I didn't know anything about Korea. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know they speak Korean. I didn't know nothing about right. Korea. Okay. So that was like my first time going to another country.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say off the bat, when I went there and visited, mm-hmm. I actually got to stop in Japan. And then I like oh. just tried McDonald's because, you mm-hmm. know, like it's like, oh, McDonald's is in another country, right. you know. So I went to Tokyo's airport. Then I went to mm-hmm. Korea. And then that is when I like got a culture shock or like understood like different cultures, because y'all, they sit on the floor.
Okay? Right.
Sit on the floor, mm-hmm. Crisscross applesauce, like in kindergarten. Okay.
Right.
So I was just like, learning about their culture. I learned about kimchi. That's when I knew mm-hmm. about like fried rice and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Just walking around, just getting to know the people. Of course, like, I feel like it was a little Americanized because I think I was, like, on base or something like that. Or, like, people definitely know right. I'm not Korean, so they speak English because mm-hmm. there is, like, American bases over there or right. whatever. But I would say that's when I learned about, like, more, like, collectivistic cultures, like, just seeing how they talk, just how they do things. Mm-hmm. But I do remember that they said shopping is good over there, so I was bargaining. That's when I was learning how right. to bargain, hustle, say this. I had them baiting eggs, like, when you was younger. I mm-hmm. came back with all the purses, even though they was okay. knocked off. They was knockoffs, baby. I was like, right. they cute. Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool. And then just being able to, like, go, the flight was long, y'all. It was, like, 8 hours, though.
Yeah.
But, like, just being able to, like, kind of, like, step out of American culture and just, like, try to just see, like, what's going on. And just being introduced, like, right. to people and stuff was just, like, so cool. So I think that was a really cool, like, experience, being able to be so young and going mm-hmm. out of the country and just, like, just seeing other people. Well, technically, like, you are a minority in America, but I guess I didn't really know even what a minority was thinking back. But, like, in Korea, I was definitely a minority.
Right.
And you could definitely tell, because I'm, like, I have brown skin and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you stand out.
So, standing out. And that's when mm-hmm. I kind of learned about the culture. They would have, like, umbrellas and stuff like that. It's kind of different reasoning of why they do that. But just even that, and, like, I'm just meeting people, talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Even going to the restroom, though, like, the customs, like, you'd be like, this is on the floor, this. So right. you just be like, it's literally just a whole different world in other mm-hmm. countries or whatever. So, yeah, that was my first time out the country. That's really when I learned about, like, different cultures and, like, me being, like, in the different cultures, sitting down, eating with chopsticks and all that stuff, child.
Oh, wow.
Girl was struggling.
Yeah. That's impressive, but, though, especially yeah. being that young.
Mm-hmm. So that was my first time out the country. So it technically wasn't studying abroad, even though I did that later mm-hmm. on, but it was like visiting my dad in another country. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, for me, going out the country, my very first time was actually studying abroad. So I was already an adult, so I didn't have a really young experience like her. So yeah. And also, as you guys know, we always want to hear feedback from y'all and your experiences. So make sure you comment below. Tell us, where was your first country? Or have you not been out of the country yet? What country would you like to visit or go to? But yeah, for me, my first experience was going to Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. Costa Rica will always have a special place in my heart. I really had no choice but to go there, either Spain, because I was actually trying to finish up my undergrad degree. So they didn't have any classes left at my school. They were like, you have no choice but to go to study abroad. They're like, either Spain or either Costa Rica or another Latin country. I can't remember the other one. Mm-hmm. But Spain cost a little bit too much money. So I decided to go ahead and go with Costa Rica. But I don't regret it whatsoever. I had an amazing time. As she explained about her experience, my experience was very culture shocking as well. When I got there, I mean, nobody in the airport spoke a lick of English. And yes, I do speak Spanish. I'm not as fluent as I'd like to be, but at the time I really spoke it well enough to understand. And yeah, it was just a culture shock. Like, people were in your face. Like, it was like so much going on. It wasn't like our airports over here. Like, people were like flashing. They were like, taxi, taxi, taxi. Like, you know, cause they knew American people were coming off the planes, like trying mm-hmm. to get them to go in to their taxis and, like, you know, get transportation services and stuff like that. But yeah, overall, the environment was very peaceful in their country. They don't have an army. They don't believe in that. They actually believe in world peace. So that's the Costa Rican motto. And the food was different. Also, just like going to school over there was also their customs. How us Americans, we always like to rush. Costa Rican people, they believe in chill. So, like, mm-hmm. it was a culture shock to me, because honestly, like, when I went to class for the first time over there, we were all early, like 20, 30 minutes early. And our teacher didn't show up until like 20 minutes after the class was supposed to start. So we were there for like 45 minutes waiting, like, what is going on? Like, did this man cancel the class? Mm-hmm. And he comes in and he's like, everybody's like, are we early or something? Like, does your class start at a different time? He was like, no. He was like, Costa Rican culture, we're always 30 minutes or 45 minutes late to everything. So if we say a date is at 7 o'clock, baby, you better be there at 7:45, because if you show up before that, it's disrespectful. They see it as their way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're like more chill. They're like, Americans, y'all like to rush a lot. We're just more chill. So I really appreciate that about. And another thing I really liked about their culture is that when I was there, neighbors would actually come over to each other and exchange like foods and stuff. So if my Tikan mom needed to go over to her friend's house and get some fish, like, she didn't have to go all the way to the market. She could literally go to her friend's house and be like, hey, can I grab some fish from you? Or she'd come over and get some plantains or something like that. And they had a mango tree in their backyard. So they would come over and do stuff like that. So I really appreciated how their community was. Like, their culture is more about, like, really embracing. It's more about being family-oriented. It's also similar to Spain, I guess, as well, because they have, like, a tiesta time. So after work, the family always gets together. We had bread and coffee, or if you don't drink coffee, you can drink tea or water or something, and sit there and like watch soccer games with each other. So yeah, I really liked it over there.
Oh, what was one thing that you feel like you learned that you kind of like incorporated in your life, or like something that you bring back with you?
I would just say more so of like the cooking aspect, even though I don't do that as much when I get busy. I really appreciate how they really were into like organic foods. Like, they really didn't want to like use a lot of processed food. When I was there, they didn't, like, I didn't see that. So I think I had a respect more for organic foods and like vegetables and fruits when I was there after mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually had a similar experience though. They love taking your girls to Latin America. Mm-hmm. I went to Panama. So oh, okay. I did study abroad, and I didn't know Spanish before. I know mm-hmm. a little bit, poquito, not too much.
Right.
But I studied abroad in Panama like my sophomore year or something mm-hmm. like that. Well, I guess we should take that back, because I did study abroad in high school as well, but that was to pair. So anyways, yeah. We're talking about Spanish speaking countries. Mm-hmm. I had to like get 2 semesters of Spanish speaking countries. I had to take 2 semesters of Spanish to be able to even go. So okay. Then I was like, okay, but I was thinking I knew Spanish. Child, when I got there, mm-hmm. the whole class was in Spanish. Child, I was like, English, por favor, English, por favor. Right. Like, it was crazy. The classes was like not long, mm-hmm. But they were more chill. Like, we was on a party bus with our professors. Like, the mm-hmm. party bus was at the beginning, and we was in a hotel, so we had like a lot of freedom, and like,
right.
We definitely did to go like play hard. Like, you know, play hard, work hard, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they did talk about like how they're slow, how it's time. So I think that like, that's like a Caribbean thing, something yeah. like that. Like, mm-hmm. take time, you know, like go slow, no rush, or whatever.
Right.
But the fruit do be banging over there. Like mm-hmm. the fresh it definitely fruit was. Be so good over there. And so I was there for like three weeks, I think, mm-hmm. In Panama. So I got to go like see everything, but I think that was cool too.
Panama's like right by Costa Rica, so I could see their cultures mm-hmm, being kind of mm-hmm. similar.
It's like, and there's like a Panama Canal, but like mm-hmm. Panama's like a melting pot. They have Chinese there.
Mm-hmm. Same with Costa Rica. Africans
there, stuff like that, but the Chinese people are kind of taking over. So yeah. That's like why it's not really too good. But there's even Black people there and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. now, to me, it's just really interesting how like people are expats now. Like Black people are like moving to Panama, moving right. to Costa Rica because it's chill. Like mm-hmm. there is no military and stuff like that. So
right.
I think that's even cool how we got to kind of experience that as mm-hmm. such like young people.
Right.
And some people are only experiencing it when they get older. So
right.
my question was going to be, do you feel like you would ever move out the U.S. and like live in another country?
Oh yeah, hands down.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay.
I don't know where, but I would for sure.
Yeah.
I've always watched videos about like different places to move to, especially places that are more Afrocentric that cater to Black women, like mm-hmm. safe places for us. So yeah, I do watch those all the time. I think a lot of Black people have been going to like Iceland, Denmark, Thailand. Really? Yeah, and Greenland.
I've heard of Thailand, never heard of Greenland.
Yeah, so
I would move to another country too, but y'all gotta stay for that. I got some countries in my list, but
a lot of Black people are moving to Mexico also.
Yeah, they are, but that's like, dang, I don't want to speak Spanish so much. Like, I don't know Spanish that mm-hmm. much, so I personally believe, because when we be, when they come over here, you guys speak English. You got, so I'm like, right. I think that you should speak Spanish if you go over there. That's absolutely my personal belief.
Yeah.
And I don't speak Spanish fluently, so mm-hmm. I'm going to go to a Caribbean country where they speak English. Until I get my Spanish up, por favor. Okay.
Right.
So, yeah, I would also live out the country, too. And I just feel like we have been talking about this a little bit, but, like, being single, having no kids, like, mm-hmm. I feel like the world is kind of like our oyster and stuff like that.
Right.
And just, like, going out and trying these experiences. And it's kind of cool to be like, oh, I lived somewhere for so long, or I tried this and I tried that. And, like, so you can kind of just figure out different things or just see, you know, just explore the world and, like, what it all has to offer.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, guys, those are our experiences with going abroad and going out of the country for the first time. So that plays into the conjunction of what we were actually talking about. Going back to this episode is in commemoration for Martin Luther King Jr. of I Had a Dream. So essentially, we are going to be talking about us growing up in our school districts and how there was a lack of diversity. So, again, if y'all had a lack of diversity in the schools y'all went to, please comment below and tell us. I don't know if y'all went to HBCUs, if y'all went to a PWI. But yeah, we're going to share our experiences with that. So what was it like for you growing up in school? Like, was there much diversity? I know you're a military brat, so mm-hmm. you moved around. So, like, did you see different cultures? Did you have, kind of friends did you have?
I feel like growing up, like, I was a military child going to two different things. But mm-hmm. Where I was at in Iowa, like, it is a lot of Black people, but it's also like,
oh, really?
A lot of white people.
I've never been to Iowa before, yeah. So I don't know how it is. I just know about Des Moines.
I think Des Moines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there is a lot of Black people because, like, when we hear, like, the South, they moved to Iowa, like, okay. Mississippi and stuff like that.
That makes sense.
So, like, a lot of my family was there. Not saying that, you know, it's like all these Black people in these classes. Like, mm-hmm. I just remember, like, it was a mixture of, like, Black and white in Iowa. So okay. Yeah, people don't really know that. But I would say that when I noticed, I guess, like, when I was Black or something like that, like, it wasn't really in elementary school, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, I do know I had a different skin complexion, but I never really noticed. But when I was in middle school, I did play on this AAU team, and I was kind of like the only Black girl. I think there was, like, one other Black girl. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, there's different Black girls. Like, mm-hmm. Black girls who act like this, Black girls who act like that, different things like that.
Right.
And I think my mama didn't want me to be, like, a Black girl who acted like not a Black girl, because she would always be saying stuff or whatever. So,
right.
I think that's, like, when I noticed I was Black, because of, you know, your hair is different, because your skin complexion mm-hmm. is different, something like that. It's, like, being around, just doing different things, like, you know, as, like, typical, they say, like, if you a Black child, you can't do nothing, really. But, like,
right.
your other counterpart is like, no, you can't do this. So I would say that's kind of when I really noticed about it. And then there was a comment, like, from my cousin that was, she was like, oh, you're an Oreo. And I'm like, what the heck is an
Oreo?
Like, I never mm-hmm. knew what an Oreo was. And it's like, oh, you talk proper. But it's just like, just because I talk proper does not mean that I'm white, you know? So I think that is kind of like a struggle and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And how you talking, like, oh, you think just because I'm talking proper means that I'm white. It's mm-hmm. like, no, that's the kind of like where I've been at, what I've been doing. Like, that's just how I talk, honestly.
Right.
I don't know. And I have like a mixture of all these different, like, not dialects, but like accents within.
Yeah, because you moved around.
Yeah, so with like talking.
And your parents
and stuff
are
like that.
Very educated, so that plays a part into it.
Yeah, and like what mm-hmm. you talk and like reading and stuff. And I did read a lot when I was younger as well, too. So like just thinking about that was very interesting. And then going to actually high school, though, my last high school, baby, they was all Black. Like, it was a whole bunch of Black people.
Okay.
So I would say it was more Black. But then it's also going into those spaces, because as I referenced, like, growing up, I didn't really know anything about music. Like, I knew a little bit about rap, and I think mm-hmm. that I just kind of watched Basketball Wives. I never got into the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I never really got into pop culture. Like, all mm-hmm. I listened to was gospel. So there's a certain part, too. It's like really, like, how Black are you? Because it's like, when I talk mm-hmm. about it, I'm like, you know this way. I don't know a rapper. I barely know a singer. I know mm-hmm. Destiny's Child, but like, or even movie references. Like, I didn't really watch those type of movies. I watched Tyler Perry. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I watched, you know?
Right.
So also so it's not even really like being in these white spaces, because white spaces are Black spaces, but it's kind of about like being experienced and like what you have and what I have access to. Yeah, I listen to the radio, but you know, they bleep out customers, they bleep mm-hmm. out. So it's kind of like, it's indifferent. But then also hanging out with friends, yeah, you know some stuff, but you only hang out with people who you know. So if my friends are going to church or whatever, we're doing the same things.
Right.
I don't know about anything. Like, I was not into YouTube. I was not watching or listening to, I mean, I watched like BET, like 106 in Park, but I wasn't like on all the like pop culture gossip and stuff like that.
Right.
So I would say that sometimes your blackness is kind of questioned because you don't know all that stuff. Cause you don't know like what's going on. So I feel like that was kind of hard. It's like, okay, I'm black, but like, I guess like what makes you black? Yeah, your skin complexion, but there's like cultural references. Like, don't take my black card, but I didn't know how to play space. I know about
it. I learned in college.
Oh yeah, see, I didn't even do that. And so I would say that when I went to high school, I didn't get to take it, but it was an African American history class. I was like, dang, I want to take that or whatever. Mm-hmm. I couldn't take that, and I don't really know what I knew, but somehow I knew about Spelman.
Okay.
And maybe Clark Atlanta. I think maybe as I started doing some research, because I was going, I think it's my junior year, my senior year, I was learning about more about colleges and stuff like that. And
you I thought about trying to go to an HBCU.
Yeah, I thought about going to HBCU because I heard about K-State. It was HBCU, but I didn't know too much about it. But then I heard about like Spelman and stuff. So that's kind of how I got into it. But long story short, baby, they ain't had no money. That was out of state tuition. So I didn't end up going to an HBCU. But I kind of learned more about it. So I ended up going to a PWI. But I feel like being in a PWI, actually, that made me... you know, connect actually more with black people because we had like something called a Porter Scholarship. We had like mentors and stuff like that. So I was able to like gather and be around people who look like me.
Right.
And I guess people are like looking for people who like look like you at a space because it's like 20,000, 30,000 students or whatever.
Right.
So I feel like I probably got more into my blackness in college and like learning about stuff and talking about stuff and just meeting people and then meeting all these different black people from different places and stuff like that.
Right.
It's kind of like how I probably like gained or like learned more about my blackness and different people. And that's even when I was learning about Pan-African studies and stuff like that and like how I studied in Trinidad and Tobago. So I feel like over the time I've learned more about my blackness. My dad's always like, you've been pro-black all the time. I don't know about that part, but like that's kind of like how I learned and kind of like, I guess, got into my blackness and different things like that. So, yeah. What about you?
That's a good backstory. I would say similarly, I really didn't embrace my blackness probably until I got into college as well. All throughout like middle school and stuff like that, I hung out with a different group of friends. I didn't just have my black friends like that I hung out with solely. Like I had, you know, an Asian friend. I had friends from Pakistan that I was really close to. I had white friends I were really close to. I did have a black best friend, which we are still best friends to this day. But yeah, so I think primarily because I didn't hang out with so many black people, people always referenced to me as like an Oreo or like a white girl in a black girl's body type of thing. Yeah, so I mean, growing up and stuff like that, my parents did put black culture in front of my face because my mom did own an art store at the time. She did like African art. Then I told you about on the last episode, my family celebrated Kwanzaa as well. So there was always like black culture around me. So, you know, I think during that late 90s era, I don't know, I feel like in a conglomerate of black people were celebrating like black culture and stuff like that, which there's nothing wrong with it, as we should. Like we, our ancestors come from Africa. So yeah. I think like throughout school, we did have a lot of black people in my school district, but at the same time, we were still a minority. Like when I started getting more into like different classes, like in high school, like AP classes, honor classes, and stuff like that, there was only a sprinkle of us in there, like a few of us, and majority of those people were white because we went to a predominantly white school. So yeah, and as far as like music and stuff like that, I wasn't listening to too much rap. I was more of an R&B girly because my mother always had R&B on. Like back in the day, I already knew who Jaheim was. I knew who Joe was because my dad went to school with him. I was listening to Whitney Houston.
From Kentucky?
No, he's from Jersey. Yeah. So I was already listening to Joe. I was listening to Jaheim. I was listening to my grandmother always had music on. So I learned about Chubby Checker, Lionel Richie, like all the old goodies and stuff like that. My grandmother, I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily say she was like a pro-black person, but she always had black culture around us as well. Like she was very fair, light skinned, but she let people know, baby, I am a Negro. So yes, for sure.
I'm cracking up.
But yeah, I don't think that my black card really got activated for real until I went to college. Because by then I was hanging out with way more black people, like a lot more black people, going to black parties. I was learning more about like fraternities and stuff like that. I never got into a sorority, but my friend was a Delta. So I got to see that kind of angle of school as well, about learning about the IOTAs, Kappas, and everything like that. So I had an appreciation for all of that as well.
Oh, yeah. When I was in high school, I was like in the AKA thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like they have like a AKA thing for high school or something like that. So I was in that. But yeah, it's like I know AKAs, but it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I didn't know you had to like be a college educated woman, stuff like that. And I kind of like put two and two together when I got older.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, that's what it is. But yeah, my vice principal was an AKA. Both of my vice principals was actually an AKA. And so that's how I know about them. And then I didn't really know about Delta till like I got to school or whatever. But yeah, so I think that kind of like helped shake it in a sense. But it is kind of like, honestly, like what is black culture, you know? But I feel like it's kind of in a mix. And what I was going to say, black history was one, you know, but you only get 28 dang days. And I feel like it's remiss because they always want to talk about Martin Luther King Jr. But it's like, it's so many more people than Martin Luther King Jr. that has done things
exactly
in black history, you know? And so just hearing about that is very like, okay, well, what about the other people who did things in black history? And also they really weren't teaching black history.
Right.
And there, and there's another thing to say about like, how can you embrace something that is not taught to you?
Right.
So honestly, like my parents, they went to college later on. And so I feel like I did go to college. So I was able to embrace it later on, to learn more about it, to think about it. But like in high school, there is no classes about maybe World War History.
No.
Who cares?
They don't teach nothing about black culture like that in high school.
American history and something like that. So it kind of is like what you have to learn in different things like that. And so I think our culture even comes like when we're talking about like the Thanksgiving food, the Christmas. So it's like that's when you get like the spades, the games. So I think that's when you kind of get like the black culture. My grandma, I don't really think that they were like, oh, black culture, this or whatever. They was over here trying to survive.
Yeah, like, same with mine too.
So I don't really know. And it could be depending on where we live and what we like, you know, where you at. It could be more emphasis on black culture and different.
Oh yeah, definitely. If you lived in like the South, like maybe Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, places like that. But we, you know, she grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in like the Southeast, Kentucky. Yeah. So
And so like being up there, it was like, okay, like I hear now people are like, oh, there's black people in Iowa. I'm like, yes. I actually never knew anything about Kentucky. I never knew black people was in Kentucky. I didn't even know until I moved to Kentucky. Like, I didn't even know where Kentucky was at on the map. Honestly.
Right.
I didn't know nothing about Kentucky. So I think that also that is kind of like interesting too, because like people don't think black people are like wherever at, wherever they
are. We're everywhere, really.
Yeah. And so I think even within that, it's like it's hard to even figure out like what black culture is, because you could do pop culture. Yeah, you could do this. But like really, if you think about a lot of black culture, like if you're going to be for real, I feel like black culture, I can tie it to Christian, like being in the church. Like black culture is church culture to me.
Right.
Like black people do this, black people do that. Like growing up, like I would see it in the church per se, because that's where I seen all the black people at, was in church, you know? Versus like, what is black culture? Because it could be different in California than it could be in Florida. But it's like that church, that Christian, or like if you Baptist, if you Kojic, if you, like you kind of know that as like what the culture is versus like, okay, black people do this, black people do that, or whatever. So, yeah, I was gonna say when I was younger, I had more like white friends and stuff like that. I think I had just like multicultural different friends, but I feel like as I got older, I don't have that many white friends or Asian friends or different things like that. And so, even going into that, when we were referencing like Zoe and Penny, I'm like, it's easy to be friends in like elementary school or whatever, in middle school. But it's like, I don't know if it's a relatability thing or if we're just not around those people, but it's kind of like having those like mixed friendships or whatever. And like what you can relate to, I feel like it's kind of hard as you get older possibly, or like why we don't really have those friendships. Like when we, you know, graduate and move on, it's like, do we still talk to our friends from elementary or middle school? Are you like changing? Cause like, okay, well, maybe they don't agree. Or even when you learn about stuff and it's like, people are always like, it's race. And it's like, race is a huge thing in America, clearly,
it
from
is.
History. But they're not taught that. But then we're taught something and we know something. And then it's like, they're not educated about it. Some people, not all people. So don't clip this video saying that. But it's just like, okay, So how do we navigate, you know, because we did go to PWIs, we didn't go to HBCUs or whatever, but we've always been into white spaces. So it's kind of something like, well, what is it like being in the HBCU space? And that's really when I thought about it. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, this is your one time to be able to just be around Black people.
Right.
All the time. Wherever, you know? And it's like, we don't really have those spaces, but they don't think about that because everywhere they go, they're the majority.
But I think in some capacities, like, there's pros and cons with PWIs and HBCUs. I think one thing that I appreciate about going to a PWI is that there was a conglomerate of diversity there. There was different cultures. I wasn't just always around a bunch of Black people per se. So I learned about different things and was just around different people. So I appreciated other cultures. And, you know, in college, I did actually get to study African-American studies. So that was also how I learned more about Black culture as well. By taking that class.
I don't know. I feel like at my PWI, I mean, I guess I just stayed into my thing. So all I did was Black stuff. Mm-hmm. I definitely was trying to integrate within the whites, but then that's when I was the only Black. Like, it was two Blacks, but I was on like something called Engage Leave Serve Board. When I was in student activities, where like I was kind of really like the only Black person. So it was really kind of hard to step into those spaces. But I've done it and I did it before. So I was like the only Black person, maybe like two or three Black people like that was on the board. And then I was on like student activities board. There was some Black people, but it wasn't as much as it would be like for Black Student Union or something like that.
Right.
And then I was an RA. There was some Black, like it was like a sprinkle of Black people or something like that. So I don't know. And I can't really compare it to like HBCU, but PWI, of course they have different resources. They might have more scholarships and stuff like that. But even when we're talking about this, like, that's why that affirmative action and everything that's coming in, that is going to be, like, something in the wrench, whatever, you throw it in the wrench. Because now it's like, okay, well, our HBCU is going to get more enrollment. What's this going to look like for the future of higher education?
PWIs, yeah, wasn't there a federal
to, like, turn over the affirmative action?
Yes.
Yeah, and so, like, that goes into, like, even in Florida and something in Kentucky. So, like, they're not trying to have that on there or whatever with race and different things like that, but then it's like, who does it affect? And we can talk about that because although we love Full House, Becky from Full House, Rebecca, was giving money to a school for her student, her kid to go to school. We don't have those resources to get money, but then they go to jail, but then you try to kick education out, and education is the way to a means for some people. They preach you go to school, and then now you are trying to take away for people to go to school. So it's like they always want to kind of just like undercut you every time.
Yeah, it's just like somewhere. With the Biden administration, we were supposed to get the $20,000 back as well for having Pell Grants. I know I was one of those people because majority of the people that had Pell Grants were minorities. And once that got overturned, it was kind of like, that's a slap in the face as well, you know, once they took away the affirmative action. So, yeah, because, I mean, going to school, it was not easy and paying for it as well. I had, you know, a trap scholarship. I had keys and then I had my Pell Grant. That was pretty much it. And like that helped out a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah. Money is really big and when you don't have the resources. So
absolutely.
That's kind of sad. But then it's like, well, shoot, I'm in debt because you didn't go. I didn't go to HBCU because I didn't want to be in debt.
Right.
But then I'm in debt going to PWI and getting my degrees. So it's like, well, dang, I should have just went to HBCU and got something for the culture, you know? So that's kind of like an interesting take about it. But I was just like, you know.
And I will say that also, too, one thing I do appreciate about growing up is that even though I did go to a predominantly white school, I did grow up in an all-Black neighborhood. Everybody on my grandmother's street was Black. Everyone there had their houses built back in like the 70s, the 60s. They all lived there almost till they died. So all my grandmother's neighbors were white, except for my
white or Black.
White, or sorry, I'm saying Black. But yes, they were all Black. Except for like maybe as time went on, newer people started moving in. But like growing up, that's all I seen was Black people in
our neighborhood. And that's where we differ because maybe I was the only Black one on the cul-de-sac.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was like the only Black one on the cul-de-sac, and I remember that. And then like because we moved like four or five times. And they're like, why you move every year? I'm so used to moving. I feel like I was the only Black person, like Black family on one. I can't remember everything, but then we moved another one. And the next door to us, there was a Black lady. Then we moved another time. And I think it was a mixture. Like when I lived on Post, it was like, you know, there's Mexican, Puerto Ricans or whatever. They moved again. We were like the only Black people. And even now we're like the only Black people in our cul-de-sac area, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of like, that's kind of where it is, you know. Mm-hmm. It could be a privilege or it could not be a privilege. So it's like, that's kind of all I know. All I know is houses. Even younger people are like, oh, I live in an apartment. I'm like, I don't know what apartment living is.
Right.
Now I'm like, now I know, child.
Now you know.
Yeah, but it's like, so growing up, it was kind of like, all I know is this. I live in houses. I live in these cul-de-sac. And so that's another thing too, because, you know, when you go out, and that's what I feel like is the miss, because maybe ain't nobody was outside in our cul-de-sacs, but mm-hmm. you go to like down the street or something like that, the black people outside playing and doing, right. I was inside chilling. Like, I did not go outside when I was younger. No,
I was always outside.
But you got to think about, like, there was like mm-hmm. one person that was like, had little kids, like little mm-hmm. white girls. And then there was some other people, their kids was like older or whatever. So it wasn't like, oh, I have next door neighbors that have like the same age kid. Now, one I did mm-hmm. when I was younger, and she lied to me and told me that she had a twin. And I'm like, girl, what? So she was coming back and forth like, oh, my twin. Mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, oh, where are you at? She's like, I'm so sorry, I lied to you. And that's why I ain't trusting. Why are you lying, girl? You 7 years old and you lying about a twin.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, she wanted to have an imaginary friend so bad. But yeah, so that is kind of like wise, because there wasn't really that many kids
right
in my neighborhood, I think. So yeah, that's kind of how that was.
You have anything else about schools that you want to talk about, like being in a white space?
No, I did enjoy my time. I went to University of Louisville, go Cards.
Hey.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time. I really did like college. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was good because I got to study abroad. I got to be an RA. I got to travel. And I mean, I got a degree and stuff like that.
Right.
But I think it'll be cooler. I think one thing, I do have my friends, but it'll be good. Maybe because sometimes schools are smaller, mm-hmm. you could have that better connection. As we were talking about last episode about networking.
Right.
You could have that better connection with your people. You could have maybe even more friends, or maybe it's a bigger thing because it's a smaller school. So you could really kind of like, right. navigate and do it. Now, child, they done forgot about you after a year because mm-hmm. there's so many people coming in there. So
right.
I think that would like kind of be the negative about it.
Yeah, I think if I could go back to school too, I think I would have wanted to been more in a black space, because I think I was always primarily in a white space, mm-hmm. especially when I ran track as well. Like, I had black people on my team, but they wasn't really worrying about like outsiders for real, because they was already on the team. They were a little bit older than me. So it's like, oh, who's this new girl coming in? Like, you could tell like they were kind of cliquish. I think that's been like my experience sometimes with certain people, like in schools, they already cliquish. They already know each other. Yeah. So it's hard to come into like some black spaces. So I feel like an outsider sometimes. But yeah, like I think now I definitely have a lot more black friends. Like, I really don't have any white friends except for the ones I grew up with. Yeah,
the clique and the mm-hmm. elitistness of black spaces
mm-hmm.
is another conversation. Let us know if you want us to talk about it.
Definitely. Because
that is kind of hard, too. And in general, people don't know. But yeah, like being the new
girl. You could definitely talk about that, being in, living in Atlanta.
Yeah, so. And being the new girl on the block mm-hmm. In general, too. Like, how I said I moved. And I moved junior year. Like, people aren't as open. But that's why I'm really friendly and I'm open, because I know how it feels to like be a new person, like not know anything and stuff like that. And it's just right. a genuine thing of me. And so I feel like sometimes black people get such into like, I did this, I did this, mm-hmm. I did this, I did. Mm-hmm. It's like they can't even really kind of even connect or like get on your level, because they're like, I think I'm better than you. It's like,
right.
honey child.
Like, girl, a cat and mouse game.
Girl, you got a degree. Just like, we got a degree.
Right.
We both have a degree. It's okay, honey. Like, right. okay, like next.
Listen, we all can shine. mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that is kind of something. But, yeah, navigating black spaces, child, is another episode. I'm trying to talk in my Martin Luther King Jr. voice. Okay, one day we'll talk about that. But we are going to go to our next segment, and it is called The Hot Seat. This is where mm-hmm. we say some burning answers and some questions so y'all can get to know us better, and we can get to know each other. We can see if we know each other as well as we think we do.
Yes.
So I'm about to pick a card. We're going to see if it's good. Who would I choose to spend tomorrow as if I could choose anyone in the world?
I don't know. I feel like that could be a lot of people, because you've talked about a lot of inspirational people. I don't want to say the wrong person. I don't know if it would be... Wouldn't say Tyler Perry, because yeah, but honestly, I don't know if it would be like Issa Rae or someone like that.
Oh, that would be cool, Issa Rae Knowles. I would definitely pick Oprah Winfrey.
You know, that was one of my guesses too. I should have. That was my second guess after Tyler Perry. I was thinking that, but I was like, I wasn't for sure. So,
oh yeah, I would pick Oprah. Right. Yeah, you would have been. Yeah, she's a media mogul. She's the first woman billionaire. Mm-hmm. She has her own network. I would definitely pick Oprah. But I was a guess for you. You haven't really talked about like who inspires you.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. haven't talked about. So who would I choose to spend my eyes if I could choose anyone in the world? I'm trying to think who would it be if you did anyone? Maybe like a girl rapper?
Who?
Maybe? Well, I guess for the sake, since you like Nicki, I would say Nicki Minaj.
Maybe. I think I might would want to be her, but I think actually I would want to be Angela Bassett.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Angela Bassett, the actress.
She's one of my all-time iconic favorites. Like, I just love her.
Oh, okay. Angela Bassett. Yeah. Oh, I would have not guessed that. She's not even on my radar. I love you, girl. Yeah. No. If you see this, we need you to come to the Black Girl Damn
Podcast. Oh, yeah, definitely. Angela Bassett, you are one of my favorite actresses of all time, yes. Besides Viola Davis. They are just the golden epitome of black film.
Yeah, like, she really mm-hmm. is Angela Bassett, because I watched the Jackson 5. She mm-hmm. played the mom. She played Catherine, right? Mm-hmm. And then she played, didn't she play, what's that one? Waiting to Excel. Didn't she play in that movie?
I think so, yes.
Angela Bassett. And then she played a couple ones. She's the mama. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lewis is the mama. Lauren Devine or something.
I know who you're talking about. Yes.
She'd be mm-hmm. a mama. So yeah. Okay, that would be cool. Angela Bassett.
Yep. Hmm.
You've always like, that's been your favorite actress?
Yes, hands down.
Oh,
yes, okay. Of all time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I don't think I even have a favorite actress, but I do love Issa Rae.
I used to love Gabrielle Union, but then as I got older, I'm like, Angela Bassett.
Yeah, I love her, but I don't know. I'm like, love Gabrielle Union. I think, like, I don't know. I feel like she's okay, but mm-hmm. I do love when she was on Daddy's Little Girl. She went on that date, it's like, Julia, I'll never make a fool of you. She's like, huh? Check, please.
Right. She was ready to go.
So that was funny. But yeah, that is so cool. Do you want to do one more art?
Yeah, I can ask.
Okay.
My face is on the cover of a cereal box. What is the slogan?
Oh, my face is on the cover of a cereal box. What is the slogan? I have no idea. That was
I don't know for you. That's kind of difficult. I don't know if it would be. I feel like it would be something like being a boss babe, having power, like maybe throwing in like some black culture in there. I don't know like what the slogan exactly would be, like go get it, girl, or something like that.
Oh, that's cute. That is cute. That's cute. I like that. Yeah, I don't know. A cereal. I got to think. I don't know, but I do like those things. For you, cereal. Mm-hmm. Do you even eat cereal?
I used to like crazy. I don't anymore.
And I haven't ate cereal in a long time, but I have cereal. I think for you, for a cereal thing, let me think. Because I feel like it could be two references.
Because
mm-hmm. you know, after you eat, you go to sleep. It could be like put you to sleep. Because my girl do not play about her sleep.
I know.
It could be like so good you want to slap your mama, baby, you can eat it. Okay, you can go to sleep after, something like that. Because my girl do not play about the sleep. Okay.
No. I'm on 45 different schedules, so that's probably why.
Yeah, I would think it would be something about like something like that. Like it's so mm-hmm. good, like, you know, like, or it could even be something like fun, because I know like how you do like to travel, or like, oh, mm-hmm. it could take you to another, like, could take you to another world or something like that. I think one of those. What would you say?
Yeah, either one of them is fitting, honestly. I like the first one.
Yeah, put the sleep, yeah, because baby girl, she does not.
And we're talking about food, so if you're being nasty,
yes, put you to sleep, baby. Don't take that fucking from us. But yeah, I like that. That's funny that you said boss babe. Yeah, boss babe, something like, okay, get you. This will fuel you up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Well, yeah, that's good. So let us know who you would choose to be,
mm-hmm.
if you could be anybody tomorrow, and let us know what your cereal slogan would be.
Yeah.
So that's the hot seat, just to get to know us a little better. And we will be ending with our affirmations for the episode.
So
So, yeah, I would pick one. Hopefully it's a good one.
And as always, we are using the Brave, Strong, and Smart. This is not sponsored. Hopefully one day.
Yes. So mine says, rise above the storm and you will find the sunshine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That. Mine is, real girls are never perfect and perfect girls are never real.
Okay. And we real.
Exactly. We trying to keep it real on here. Right. No.
Yes. So this was our episode today. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. We're just trying to talk about like being children, you know, growing up in these white spaces and how we navigated those. Mm-hmm. If you all do relate, please comment, please share, and let us know if we should do another episode like this. Let us know if y'all have any questions, y'all want to send us something in, because all these different segments can be replaced. You know, like we could do a Q&A or something like that if y'all have some questions for us.
Right.
And we want to make this fun and engaging for y'all to listen, whether you're on your way to work, whether you're eating your lunch, or whether you just rock with us like that because you're part of the BGD fam. Yeah, so make sure you like, comment, subscribe.
Yep.
Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, yes. And see y'all next video. Bye.